Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is Greg Adella. And Greg is going to be on the ballot to run for mayor of Albany, and he's going to be on the independence line. So, Greg, you pulled it off with two signatures. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, well, good morning, Cynthia. Thanks again for having me on. And yes, we did. We worked, you know, my team and I, we worked really, really hard to get out there in the petition process and to get on the ballot. And that's a process, obviously, I've never been through. This is my first attempt in politics. And we met really great, positive people along the way. Also, a lot of apathy, right? As you know, in Albany politics and the city of Albany, but we're focused on the positive people that want positive change. So, you know, it's the old adage is if you clear the long, or excuse me, if you clear the high jump by 2 feet or 2 inches, you still clear it. So my team and I were excited, you know, to meet more great people throughout the summer and bring this home in November.
So, you know, as you go forward, I think that I would like to see more of a dialogue on issues besides gun violence that I know you're very concerned about. What do you think of the issues that face Albany?
Well, I think about them every day and every night. And I'm out there listening to people every day. You know, so every day I'm meeting with businesses and residents alike. That are concerned with everything, you know, and I'm telling you, the top issue is safety, because safety and cleanliness, right? Because the street, you go down the streets and they're a mess. Now, obviously not all of them, you know, that's unfair to say, but Albany is in a really tough way right now. And the first two things that people mentioned to me, and happened to be the first two points on my platform, is safety and cleanliness. And they're really concerned because a lot of the businesses that I've spoken to are considering leaving and going to another community, as are residents. You know, residents are fed up with this administration not denouncing violence, not being visible at all, showing up for photo ops. They're coming out now because it's an election year. But those are real concerns because there's no business coming into Albany. And so, you know, look, I just want to, you know, focus on those two points primarily. We also have to get, you know, I want better communication so there's a healthier workplace and home life for residents and, you know, city workers, low morale. I know you've heard me say that before. But again, I'm out every day listening to people, and the morale and pride is very low in Albany. People are very confused on what the direction is going to be. And they're very excited, as am I, that someone, you know, is staying true to what they've been registered since they were 18, which is an independent, and that's myself. So they find it a breath of fresh air to where, because I've said it from the beginning, that I want to work with everybody that wants a better Albany. It won't be easy, but that's my approach, and people are really taking a good liking to it.
Now, I've interviewed you a number of times on Focus on Albany. How has the press been dealing with your campaign?
Great question. So I think at the beginning, you know, people thought, you know, oh, so he has a career in entertainment for 20 years. You know, is it just a joke or is it serious? Is it a publicity stunt? And no, I am very, very much serious about this campaign. And I've been covering, you know, the violence, especially in the West Hill on our block where our family's been doing business for 78 years, for the past 3 years. And nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. Still no elected officials show up to the businesses and the residents. They turn a blind eye. The drive-by that occurred at the end of May on our block, I was the person who called 911. I was one of the first four people on site, and I watched that innocent victim of the drive-by die. I've never witnessed that in my life before. It's very scary. It plays with your mind and head. It's something I'll never forget. But again, there just seems to be, and of course, no one shows up, no elected officials. There was no protests over it. And that's what saddens me as the community at whole. Like, are we all for the end of violence, or is it pick and choose and certain type of violence? So I think in the beginning, to go to back to your question, because the press did cover me, that's why I mentioned that story, because I was videotaping, as I usually do, from the spot of these violent occurrences. And I have a PR firm. I have a really great PR firm. So I think at first they thought, you know, hey, this, you know, that they didn't take me seriously, which I can honestly say I don't think they did. I don't think a lot of people did, or maybe they still don't. But I'm very much serious about this. And my firm really knows how to capture my thoughts when I speak to them, and then we put it out to the media for press releases. So I think moving forward that they're going to need to cover, obviously, because there's three of us running now. And and perhaps it's just a little too early, you know, because throughout the summer I'll have press release, I'll have fundraisers, fundraising, all of those things. So they can't hide, but as we all know in this area, I think sometimes it's just very selective of what the media covers and what they don't cover.
You know, you fault the elected officials for not showing up at important events and stuff. Okay, so let's say you did win for mayor. Okay, mm-hmm. And you're on the ballot as an independent. There's going to be 15 Democrats on the Common Council. Do you foresee any problems there?
I'm sorry, you cut out a little bit. I'm sorry, do I see any what there? I'm sorry?
Do you see any problems working with 15 Democrats and you're an independent?
I really don't. I mean, personally, I don't. You know, at 47 in the business world, working for my family and myself, I've worked across the country with a multitude of people. And we sit down in my business and we hash details out so there's clarity at the foundation. That's what I want with these people. This isn't global domination. This is for a better community, and so Albany, like I said, can be the beacon for the entire capital region. If anyone's going to have a problem, I can certainly say it's not going to be me. I'm not going to be intimidated or bullied into one way or the other. Now, I know that I'll have to make hard decisions. I know it won't please everybody all the time, but we're going to have to work together as a community, as one Albany. And I can assure you that I will go in with the clear mind and clear head, as I do in every business transaction I make in my life, and I will carry that work ethic into this position when I win in November.
When you first told people that you were thinking of running for mayor, what was their reaction?
They loved it. You know, some people couldn't believe that I would put a 20-year award-winning career on hold. But there were people that thought we knew it. And I believe that, you know, the genesis really started 3 years ago, possibly. I mean, they know I've been vocal about the violence. I want safety for my family and all families. But listen, when you've got a current mayor that said last August in print with the violence that if you're hit by a stray bullet and it's not intended for you, you're in the wrong place at the wrong time for whatever reason. I couldn't sleep at night after reading that. And that's what really planted the seed that said to myself that I need to look into this more, because no community deserves that indifferent statement from a current administration, no matter where you live in the world. The first order of any government is to protect the citizens, especially the innocent. This has been changed in this country, this narrative. And quite honestly, I'm not alone in this, but I've met with great Albany people that are tired of that those indifferent views by this current administration. It's old and tired. People want new, positive ways and ideas. And this administration is definitely not delivering that. So people are really excited for me. And I'm excited that they're excited for me to give me the energy and love to carry me forward.
Now, you were born and raised in Albany, and you said you're 47. So Corning was mayor at that time?
Yes. So let me just clarify. So I'm one of eight kids. So I was conceived in Albany, and then when my mother was pregnant with me, we moved to Colony, and then I've worked, you know, in Albany with the family business, you know, throughout my career. So, yes, I'm sorry. Corning was the mayor, yes.
And so over the years, how would you assess Albany? Has it gone downhill? Has it stayed the same? Or in some ways, anyway, getting better?
Boy, I don't think it's as opportunistic as it was when my grandfather came from Italy and started the business in 1943. I think if you come down to our family business and you see the old pictures of Albany, it looks, especially downtown, looks like New York City. I think in the last 20 years, there's been a shift to 20 years ago, the downtown was starting to be built up again, and there was really great after-school programs for children and youth, especially in trying areas such as Arbor Hill and West Hill. Those programs were pushed out of the city by this administration, and I think it's gotten worse. I think aside from, you know, morale and pride being low, there's really not much for people to do to go out in Albany. Downtown, and I have friends that own places downtown, is virtually a ghost town. You know, uptown has some great places. And I don't feel that this region really works together in ways. The reason I say that is because of the lack of people coming into Albany, they just don't feel it being welcoming. There's no beacon of light by this current administration. It's mostly negative. And since that's occurred, Schenectady, Troy, they've all built up their game. And there are really nice places. They've all stepped up their game. You know, and obviously Saratoga is always beautiful. But Albany stays the status quo because no one, I feel, I shouldn't say no one, there are a lot of good people out there, and I really consider myself from a good family and a good person to try to bring positivity back to Albany to lift the morale. And more people need to get involved. They need to take the risk. And it's a healthy risk in a way. I don't think it's a bad risk. I think it's a very healthy risk to want to get involved to help bolster your community, especially the capital city. I just don't feel, if you walk the streets, and I've offered this to your audience before, they can email me at greg@gregformayor2021.com. I'd be happy to meet and talk with anybody, walk the streets, take them for field trips to show them what I've seen change in the past 40 years, especially in the West Hill. And I'm feeling that from all over, from religious leaders, business owners, residents, people that have moved here. They see how systemically corrupt this government is, straight up, you know, to the top in New York State. And it makes me sad. It doesn't have to be that way. Elected officials are for the people. They should be. That's why I stayed true to myself and stayed with the independent route. I want to be beholden to the people, not a party. And I think that's what's really happening in this society as a whole across the country, that people are beholden too much to these parties. There's too much bickering, and therein lies the division. And that division is not allowing trust to get back into the parlance and the home life of residents and businesses. And no one's speaking up on that either. It seems like it's people like yourself, myself, that are trying to do this. And, you know, it sometimes it feels like we're out in the middle of the ocean in a boat with only one oar. And it's a tough uphill battle, but I'm not going to leave the people hanging because I know they deserve better, as does the region. The region definitely deserves a better capital city. And we need to, it's going to be a long road, but we need to work together to get it done. Because obviously, you know, I don't have the experience. I can wholeheartedly admit that. I'm a businessman and I'm a great manager. And I think mayors have too much power in this country anyway. You know, these departments should be built up, let them run on their own, the mayor oversee it, and the mayor go out and be part of the community. It's not happening now. And I think with that personal touch, trust will be once again instilled into the community.
You said that, you know, you were born and raised in Albany. As a kid, were your family businesses, what was that like growing up? There was no violence. There was no guns. There was none of that back then, right?
No, none at all. So if your listeners are new to my story, my family owns Quail Auto Sales between 1st and 2nd, which is a very tough section of Albany. But we have great relations with the community. You know, we have instilled trust with the neighbors, and the neighbors trust us. But growing up in that area, and if you have people that are my age or older that are familiar with that area, they'll recognize places like Hurley's and Risco's and the Trading Port, Skipper's. There were pubs, restaurants, grocery markets, corner stores that were clean. There was no hanging about. There was a real sense of community. When I was a kid, my father would drop us off on Saturdays, my younger brother and I, down on Robin Street, and we would hang with two Italian barbers, Sam and Tony, on Saturday mornings. And since, you know, my mother died when we were kids, that allowed my father to run a couple errands for the business, and those guys would babysit us, and my dad would come back a couple hours later and pick us up. If you drove by that area now, you would never drop a child off there and leave them by themselves. See, and I'm not trying to have a poetic approach to say, hey, I'm hanging on to the past. Not at all. I'm just aware of what it was, how it was safe, how it was clean, how it was friendly, and it didn't matter what color you were. And still, with our trust that we have with the community, it's still not based on color, race, or creed. We talk with everyone, and everyone talks with us. It's very diverse, and you have to show that by example. And that's how we were raised, and that's how I'm conducting myself, staying authentic to who I am, and I'm going to carry that authenticity throughout this campaign. It was a great area. It really, truly was. And then little by little, you could just see that it was just chipping away. There was nothing for kids to do. And, you know, people of all colors and races were moving to the suburbs. And it's really sad to see, because you hear a lot of talk, not only just in Albany, but throughout the U.S., about how we need to lift up, you know, urban areas and inner cities. And that's true, and I believe that. And people have been following my real interaction with getting involved in the past 3 years. I show that, because the people in the West Hill definitely want greatness, but they're being lied to. And there's no showing of solidarity by these elected officials. We need to have a strong home place and workplace so the community works together as a whole. And all those parts, you know, come together. And it's not going to be easy. It's not a left-click fix. You know, when I get elected and I can inject these positive ways, you're looking at a good 20 years, you know, to really hammer through this to get that momentum going for each and every individual, and they deserve it. They deserve a better life than what they are getting in Albany, paying these high taxes down. They all deserve better.
I remember talking to you, you know, in the past, and you said that if elected, you would serve one term. I don't think anybody can turn this around in one term. So have you reconsidered that?
Well, yes. You know, I can't look past, you know, November 2nd, right? That's my goal. And then no one knows what it's like to be mayor until you're mayor. And
right.
What I would like to do in my term is do everything with all the positive energy that I have is to and I got a great team lined up, great prospects for positions, and see what we can do in the first 4 years. And if it's going in the right direction and we can really do it, I am open. I should just say this in general. I am open to what the future has for me and where God, you know, wants to take the direction of my life. And mm-hmm. doing so along the way, I definitely want to inspire younger folks to get involved. You know, perhaps the young students that are in college for political science, for government, to mm-hmm. say, hey, look, here's Greg Adella. He's an independent. He came out of, you know, I've been in the public life for 20 years anyway with my career, but really focus his energy, put his career on pause to give to, you know, public work for a better community. So I really have to see, you know, I put it this way. It's the old adage, right? Take one day at a time. So mm-hmm. all that combined, and we'll see where it leads. And I'm very excited to see, you know, what the future has in store, especially over the next 4 months.
So, you know, with the state capitol, so I've always been intrigued with Albany. First of all, it has a rich history going back to the 17th century and where the seat of government. So those two things should want elected officials to be Albany the best they can. And mm-hmm. I don't see that happening. I don't see that happening. What would you do to preserve the rich history of Albany?
Well, I think, you know, it's a really great question, and it really goes back to this. Two things. I want all the historians on my side. Teach me even more that I don't know, because I don't know everything. No one does, right? But number two, I think the real genesis and impetus of that, we really need to start with everyone, because there's a lot of apathy in Albany, right? We just had a primary. It was very lackluster, very yeah. lackluster. It fell flat. There's apathy all over the place. And it's been in elections past too. I mean, you just get dismal numbers to show up for local elections. And that's where it really matters. You know, people are concerned with Washington, D.C. You've got to be concerned with your own backyard, where you're raising your family, where your tax dollars are directly affected. And also, mm-hmm. and I'm a firm believer in this, and I understand people can come from all backgrounds and places to get involved in the community. But I feel a big shift happened here in the past 8 years with this administration, and most of them are carpetbaggers. The mayor's from Chicago. The chief of police is from Michigan. Administration is from Connecticut, down south. It's just, there's just no accountability, and there's nobody really from the region of sort with clout, per se, to really dig in and care for the community like it once was and to bring it back as close as they can to the way it was and to try to make it better. But when no one is from here, there's no accountability for that. There's none. Mm-hmm. And we need to really get more people that are really have deep roots from the city or the capital region to dig in and work together to build these communities back up.
You know, the seat, like I said, we're the seat of government, but yet the legislature comes here and they do their 3 or 4 days a week and then they leave.
Mm-hmm.
This should be a tourist attraction. New York City is a tourist attraction and we're not far from New York City, so we should be a tourist attraction also. And all I see is boarded up buildings, X's mm-hmm. on the buildings. It doesn't bode well for people coming in and seeing what's going on. Would you agree?
I would agree 100%. I've been documenting that in my video series for 3 years with the blight. And, you know, and the crime, that's not going to bring people out. Look, people relocate or uproot families, businesses, way of life for really two things. Is it safe and is it clean? And what is there to do? Three things, right? So the arts, and that's where my art background comes in very handy here. And we're not having it here. Excuse me. And also, excuse me, on top of that, we don't have an administration that's denouncing this. So why would anyone have any trust or be willing to come here when this administration does not get up, stand up for the innocent people, stand up for the victims' families, and denounce this violence? We are continuously in this city and the state, you know, it seems like you're punishing the good people and letting lawlessness reign. So, you know, when there's violence or murder, not once do you see this administration with a camera go to the corner and say, enough's enough. It's not happening. It's people like myself, you, other people within the community that are getting up and voicing their opinion. And it just goes back to the community deserves more than that and better. So, you know, people are just skipping right over Albany. They're skipping right over it because of all the negative press. And the press that just keeps pushing Albany to this negative space, it can do a 180 because people want to forgive people. People will give the benefit of the doubt. But you have to show that you're willing to work for that benefit of the doubt and work for the right reasons. And where you start is denouncing what is right, or excuse me, what is wrong. You have to and try to right it.
So, Greg, we are out of time today.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's always fun with you, too.
So I want to tell people about a WCAA event on July 10th on the corner of Madison and Swan. We'll be conducting a bottle and can drive between the hours of 11 and 3 to benefit WCAA. So everybody listening, save your bottles and cans. Stop by on July 10th between 11 and 3. And you've been listening to Greg Adella. I'm Cynthia Pooler. This is Focus on Albany. If you like this show, like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Greg, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day.